Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob, and this is Coach Josh. We call ourselves coaches because here at Maywood, we think of ourselves all as a team, and it's only when we're all active that we're able to do what God wants us to do. And Ephesians 4 makes it real clear that pastors are supposed to equip, to empower, basically to coach people on how to reach their potential. But all of us need to be active on God's team. So today we're in 1 Peter, and we're in the middle of a series on 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 3 today. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along with us, we're going to be chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. This passage is going to be talking to us about the good life. And a lot of people will say, oh, if only I had a better job, or if only I had a better schedule, if only my bank account was more full, if only I had the right car, or the right relationship, then my life will be good. And maybe people don't even say that, but they live that way. They're chasing after some good life, and they define it by, I just need this thing, or I need this relationship to make it happen. And the interesting thing about that, I was thinking about the good life a lot this week, and I came across a news story last night that I think kind of ties into it. This is a real teenage girl who really has a skunk as a pet, and I actually didn't read the rest of the story because I just had this idea about it that tied into our story. So imagine if this girl, I don't know if this is true, but imagine if she decided, you know, I don't really want to live at my house anymore because my house smells so bad. I'm going to move to a different house. She gets to a new house, and it smells great. She's like, oh, it's so much better. But then after a couple weeks, that house starts to smell pretty terrible, and she thinks, I need to go move to an apartment. And the same pattern happens again. She thinks, I need to move downtown to a loft. But after a couple weeks, the loft starts to smell. At some point, hopefully somebody along the way says, well, maybe you need a different pet. Like maybe carrying that skunk around is the problem. It's not all these houses that you keep blaming. And that seems really silly, and obviously most of you probably don't have a pet skunk that you carry around and blame. But a lot of times we have things that we carry with us, and what we say is, if I only had a different marriage, or if I only had a different job, or if I only got away from all of those people, then my life would be better. Then everything wouldn't smell so bad. You know, then it's all their fault. I just need to get to a different spot or a different family or a different place. But you're carrying around a bunch of skunks with you, and then you wonder when you get there, why does this place smell too? Why do these relationships have the same problems? And this can be really tragic. I had some close friends of mine get divorced a couple years ago, and I know the wife was upset about one area of their marriage and maybe some other areas too, but I just recently heard she's remarried. She's having problems in that same area with a different guy, even though that guy is about as opposite as you can get from her first husband. And stuff like that's tragic, that people make these big life changes running from problems, but they're carrying their skunks along with them. So when you pictured your good life, you might think, oh, I needed a car, or I needed a relationship. But sometimes we need to clean out what's going on inside of us, the way we are. That's what's holding us back from having the relationships we want, from thinking about ourselves the way we want, from feeling good about ourselves. So that's what Peter is going to talk to us about in verse 8 here. Bob's going to start us off with it.
And we're going to stay with one word. It says, finally, all of you be like-minded. And I'm going to stop with that and just address that. When I've read that, I've always thought like-minded would be people being together, similar minds. But as I did some studying this week, the like-minded is to be like Jesus. If you read 1 Peter, and I hope you all are, several people have told me they are, you'll find many times we're told to imitate the Lord. And so the Lord invites us to be like him. To have a mind like him, to have a heart like him, to have an inside condition like him. And so as we begin, here's the big offer. The big offer is that we can be transformed. We don't have to stay like we are. We don't have to carry the skunk, which is me, everywhere I go, all right? But rather, that inside condition can be changed, and, you know, that skunk can over time be removed and something else is replaced, which is a much better quality. So that's the offer, and I hope that you have that. We talk a whole lot in here about times of prayer and times of Bible reading and times of yielding to the Lord. And those are the basics. Those are the things we have to do. As you do those things, your inside condition will change. So let's just hold that in mind, and I think Josh is going to take us another step of the way.
Yeah, if you read this, I mean, this sounds really great, that you're to be like-minded and to be sympathetic and to love one another and being compassionate and humble. That's like, man, that's great. That's awesome. But there's another side to that, too. If you, he says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Now, that's a little bit tougher there. He's talking about to do it even when someone else is being a jerk to you. That makes it a little bit tougher, doesn't it, Jake?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have you ever had a situation like that, Josh?
Yeah, I have a little story to tell. This actually happened this week, and I have this at my job. I go and I go to these houses that people moved out of, and I take, and they leave all their junk there. So I take their junk and I put it on this trailer, and I take it to the dump, and I dump it in these dumpsters. Well, at the one I go to, there's like a line of people, so I'm in line, and the guy in front of me, I have to wait till he gets done dumping, and then he leaves, and then I pull in right where he was. Well, this guy, he decided that he didn't want to take the time to put his stuff in the dumpster, so he just dumped it on the ground, knowing that I was going to have to do something with it, because that's where my truck is supposed to go, is right there. And so he tried to dump it on the ground and then leave real quick, but the attendant saw him and stopped him and said, no. He said, you're going to go back there, and you're going to clean that up so that the guy behind you can actually do his job. And so me and the guy that I was working with, we were sitting there, and we're like, man, this guy's going to have his hands full cleaning this mess up. So we got out of the truck, and we helped him. We helped him pick up his mess and put it in the dumpster. And this guy was probably blown away, knowing that he knew that I knew that he dumped it on the ground, and that I was the one that was getting ready to have to clean it up. I was going to have to clean up his mess because he didn't want to do it, and then I was going to have to do my own job. So we were cleaning up his mess for him, and we didn't have a whole lot of conversation, but he did say thank you at the end. And that's a decent example of trying to repay evil with a blessing.
It sounds really easy to hear Josh say that. Man, that's why Josh is on stage. He is a good guy, you know? But, and that's true, but this week you'll have somebody who's a jerk. If I can just be your fortune teller for a second, you're going to have some jerk cross your path at some point this week. And he's going to do something to you, or she's going to do something to you that you don't deserve. Josh didn't deserve that junk getting dumped in his life, literally.
I totally wanted to say, I mean, we're this close, and I wanted to say, why would you do that? You know that I have to clean up your mess. Like, you totally knew that I would have to, like, why would you do that? You know, but I didn't say that. I just helped him clean it up,
Josh, amen. Josh is not such a good guy, all right? Jesus living in Josh allowed him to do that.
Well, I will tell you this. I wasn't the only one that cleaned up the mess. My friend Nick, he helped me.
That's right. Yeah. And Nick is not such a good guy either. All right. I can imagine that guy seeing Nick and Josh getting out of their truck and think, oh my, I'm in trouble.
There was a day where we wouldn't have helped him do anything.
There was a day when he would have gone to the hospital, you'd gone back to jail.
That's right.
And the point is, and this is the beauty of this, this is the point of our message. We carry who we are with us where we go. All right? Just like the girl carries a skunk everywhere. All right? Josh carries and Nick carries right now Jesus to the dump. And that allows him to live through them and change the situation. And that's the hope we all have, all right? So think about that.
So if in your good life you pictured, man, I wish I had the sports car, why did you want that in your good life? Well, it's because you maybe wanted to feel good about yourself or feel respected by other people. God's shown us that the good life, when we start to follow him, we start to do things even in a dump where we don't want to be, that we can feel good about ourselves. We realize God is making us into good people. That's what the good life that Peter's getting into here. So he knows, though, sometimes we need to hear things twice. And so he tells us in the passage kind of two different times how we're going to get this good life. He says, forever would love life and see good days. Saying if you actually care about yourself, if you actually want to have a good life, listen up. If you want to have a bad life, you can just clock out and not pay attention. But if you want to have good things happen in your life, what do you need to do? And he lays out a little roadmap for us. You know, just like on Google, type in my location, where you want to go. Peter's saying, if you want to get to the good life, here are four things he's going to lay out for you. Four steps to change, okay? First thing he lays out, we're quoting all these verses, but we're chopping them up into these four chunks. This is straight out of 1 Peter 3:10. It says, if you want to have a good life, you must keep your tongue from evil. Imagine if by some way we had the technology and we had spied on you yesterday and we were just going to play a recording for the whole church of everything that you said yesterday.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, some of you are going to be like, oh, and try to like be pretty polite, but like, I can't believe I said that. Or you don't know what they did right before I said that. The reality is a lot of evil junk comes out of our mouth. A lot of stuff that tears other people down or is negative or is useless. A lot of stuff that tries to control the people around us, prop ourselves up. And so imagine if you didn't say any of that, if you only said stuff that built people up, that was actually good for the people around you, and stuff that glorified God. Some of us might talk a lot less. And that's what this passage is saying, is don't let any of that junk come out of your mouth. First step to having a good life is to stop letting junk come out of your mouth. It's pretty simple to say, pretty hard to do. What's our next step here? Bob, I think you've got it.
You want to keep your lips from deceitful speech. And are we okay there, Brian? No. Yeah, we have, let me, if you all heard crackling, this mic is bad.
I think Patrick's been singing too loudly into that. He destroyed the mic. So, real quick story, and one that was very formative to me. When I was about 10 years old, my dad promised to take me to the county fair. And county fair in Cape Girardeau was a big deal because the other big deal in Cape Girardeau was watching the grass grow. So there wasn't much happening. And so Friday night, we were going to go to the county fair. It came around once a year. It was a huge issue for us. And mom and dad had friends who said, we'd like you to go to a football game, as I recall. It's a long, old story. And so my dad really used his powers of persuasion to ask me if I would budge, and in my little 10-year-old mind, I would not budge. He promised me a better day, a longer day, a more fun day, more money thrown at me day on Saturday if I would go with him on Saturday, let him go to the football game on Friday. And I dug my little heels in the ground and said, nope, you said go, we'll go. And I'm sure I didn't put it like that, but that's basically what I said. Here's what my dad did. He canceled all his plans and my mom's plans with their friends, and he took me to the game. And not the game, excuse me, to the fair. And he never said a word about my whining or my complaining. He didn't say anything negative at all about me. He just took me. We enjoyed the evening. And probably 55 years later, I still remember the story. And here's the deal. My dad did something for me that we all need to do for people in our lives, and that is he told me the truth, all right? His word throughout his whole life was his bond. In fact, I don't know how many times my dad said, a man's word is his bond. If you say you're going to do something, you can do it. I try to follow that. If I say I'm going to do something for you, and sometimes I get my body in trouble because my mouth puts it there, but if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Where did I learn that? I learned that from my dad. But it's more than just learning that. I was given this amazing sense of security because my parents did what they said they were going to do. I didn't have to wonder if they were going to tell me the truth. I didn't have to wonder if what they said was going to be so. That was a huge gift to me. And so as we're trying to think about these different steps, you got your speech, you got how you talk, you've got how you live, you've got how you speak in terms of telling the truth. All of this stems from a changed heart of living our lives with the Lord, and He changes us, He makes us new. We don't do this naturally, but as we live with Him, we can do it naturally as we carry Him along in our lives, okay?
And there's, if you read this, there's more than just to stop doing something that's wrong. He keeps going, and He asks you to actually replace it with something, to stop doing wrong and to start doing what's right. And let's flip this to Matthew, and I'll share. This thing makes perfect sense to me, and I read this quite a few times, and I never picked up what I'm going to share with you guys, but I'm going to read it first. You guys ready? When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. And the final condition of this person is worse than the first. And I probably read that. Well, I read it a lot of times, and I never picked up what I'm going to share with you guys. My wife read it probably one time and was like, "Are you picking this up?" And I'm like, "Apparently not." And then so she enlightened me on what I wasn't understanding about it. But this it reminds me of people that are in the drug culture and that whole lifestyle of being jacked up, okay? And a lot of times we think we're going to get rid of the drugs and the people that come with it. We're going to get rid of that out of our lives, and our lives are going to be all oh so better. And man, a lot of times for a while we're like, yeah, this is, hey, you know, my life's getting a lot better. And then before you know it, you find out that it all comes back because you haven't replaced. You have an empty spot in your life. And Jesus even tells us that if you don't replace that with something, then the evil spirits, they are going to come back. And if they find your life godless, Jesus says, fill that space up with Jesus. Fill it up with God. And when the evil spirits come back, they ain't going to have no place to post up. They're not going to have a living room to chill in. And so that's the mistake that a lot of us make, is we don't want to come to church. We just want to be off dope for a while, and it doesn't work that way. But if you'll fill it up with Jesus, then the evil spirits ain't going to have no place to hang out at.
And it doesn't take a lot of creativity to think of something good to do. A lot of us spend a lot of energy. I'm going to try to stop this bad habit. I'm going to try to stop doing something wrong in my life. Take a little bit of time at the start of the day, talk it over with Jesus, say, what's something good I can do with you today? Everything you're trying to get out, try to put something good in its place. Don't try to say, I'm not going to ever say anything evil today. It's going to be really hard to pull off. But what if you said, instead of saying something evil, I'm going to try to say something good about every person I see today? So then you're replacing that evil talk with good talk. Replace those evil actions with good actions. This fourth step, because we got to keep moving, is they must seek peace and pursue it. And this is the fourth one. I think it's kind of maybe the most advanced one. If you really want a good life, it means that when you come into a situation, you don't just run away from conflict, and you don't make like a normal person and just make the conflict worse. It's saying you become the type of person who actually makes conflict better. Don't just sweep it under the rug, but actually diffuses it, brings peace. Now, if you've ever met a person like this, they're pretty special when they can come into a group of friends or a group of people and actually bring peace to a group, or at least take a step towards it with the group. Normally, they're the type of person that's already doing the first three steps. They're not talking bad or talking evil about anybody. In fact, a lot of times, they listen really well. A lot of times, instead of talking so much, they're good listeners. And one of the awesome things about listening is if you listen to people, most people will like you. It's an easy step if you just actually listen when people talk and let them talk and don't worry about what you're going to say. Most people will like you. Then, if you're always telling the truth and you don't lie to people, people begin to trust you. And then if they see, like what Josh was doing, that you do the right thing, you don't do bad stuff, you do the right thing over and over, they really begin to trust you. When you have a type of friend in your life who you like and you trust, then they have a chance to change problems. They have a chance to actually speak good things into your life. So I'm not saying that you need to always make sure everyone around you, you know, always get into all their business and try to fix all their problems. That's not what a peacemaker does. But a peacemaker pays attention to people and is able to see who is hurt and how can I try to help the people I'm around. Instead of just trying to fix it to where everyone likes me the way I want them to, they start to try to look around about how do I help this group function. So when Peter said, here's the promise for a new life, you start to picture how this makes a good life. When you're this type of person, think about the relationships that you would have. If you're living this sort of way, you'd start to have better relationships. If you're living this sort of way, you'd start to have a positive view about yourself. That's really the heart of the good life, this idea of good relationships, a good relationship with God, a good relationship with other people, a good relationship with ourselves. That's what Peter's laying out here. And he ends with the critical piece that Bob started with, that we have to have a connection with God to make this all function. So verse 12, we split it into two chunks here. The first part says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Imagine if you're walking with God, shoulder to shoulder, God has an easy time talking to you. You just bend over just a little bit, and he can hear you. This idea that if you're headed in the direction God wants you to go, that you have a close relationship. When you're saying the things that God wants you to say and acting the way God wants you to act. After Josh did that at the dump, it's probably easy for God and Josh to have a conversation right after that, for Nick and God to have a conversation right after that. Right after you're done loving your enemy, there's nothing between you and God. It's an easy connection. The verse doesn't end here, though. It kind of has a punch to it. Peter's not afraid of packing a punch like we've seen before. So this last part of the verse says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Boy, that is a punch, ain't it? Yeah. When you read that, that's exactly what he said. Like, that'll knock the wind out of you if you read that. I have a hard time believing that most people, I don't even think, even believe this. But you mean the face of the Lord is against people? I'm like, yeah. I don't think people believe that. In the culture that we live in, it doesn't seem like there's any fear of God anymore. It seems like the word of God is right there. It clearly says how to live and things that you don't do this, do this. And people know it, and they just don't care. They live the way they want to live because they want to. I did it for a long time. I didn't care. And it reminds me of one of my favorite verses is God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And like, for God to oppose people it's kind of foreign. I mean, if you just ask the regular person, there was so many years that I just didn't believe that. And it makes so much sense to me now. Like, I lived this life and everything was so difficult. No matter how hard I tried, it didn't matter what it was. It was difficult. I mean, my life sucked so bad, I wanted to kill myself all the time, like on a weekly basis. I had to talk myself out of killing myself because my life was so miserable. And man, I think that's a result of God opposing you. And you know, and I chose that for myself because I didn't want to live in obedience to God. I wanted it my way. And I think we get confused about what it means to, it says God opposes the proud. And I used to get this picture of pride, like, oh, I'm so mighty, and I'm and that is a part of pride, but that's not all what pride is. Pride also says, I know what you expect, God. I know what the Bible says about these things, and I don't really care. I'm gonna do it my way anyway. I'm gonna do what I want, and I don't care. That's also what that's the main thing of pride. And God says, if you live this way, then you're in opposition of me, and I'm gonna oppose you too. You know? And so, yeah, what do you think about that, Jake?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you live away from God, it's like swimming upstream your whole life. Things aren't gonna work out the way you want it to work out.
It wears you out. It just wears you. You're so tired of, like you said, swimming upstream. You get so tired, and you just, there's a point where you just want to give up.
Yeah. Today we've hit you with a whole gamut of things, a whole bunch of stuff about getting working towards a good life. The critical piece here is that it takes that connection with God. That doesn't just happen from thinking a nice thought about God today and then living the life the way you want to the rest of the week. It happens by saying, God, I want to do these steps. Try this week, try tomorrow to do those four things that Peter talks about. That'll show you all the skunks that you've been carrying around. You start trying to not say anything evil. You start trying to be good to the people that have been bad to you. You'll start to see there's a lot of smelly stuff inside of you. And start with one of those pieces and say, God, here it is. Here's this thing that I'm struggling with. Let's show me the way to live with this. Help me to conquer my fear. Help me to conquer my laziness. Help me conquer my selfishness and follow you. So we're going to have a time of response. Our worship team is coming forward right now. This is a time, this is our most important time of the service. I know we've been in this room for about an hour. I know that's hard attention span wise. But please, during this time, either respond with God. That's always what we want people to do, is make a response to say, God, this is what I want to do different. But if you don't have something to say to God right now, please don't distract anybody that does have something to say to God. So please be respectful of other people that are making decisions. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for Maywood. I thank you that we're a family, that we love each other. God, I pray you would show us how to take a step with you. What's our next step to this good life you want? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.